What confirmed for Vicki that everything was going to be okay? But what was it? There was that vision, the hands, that clicked, right? That confirmed for her when she heard that, it confirmed the promise, right? We're going to talk about covenants and the confirmation that God gives in His Word when He makes an agreement with us. Promises, great promises in God's Word, right? And when God gives those, He does something to confirm that. And we're going to look at a number of those things today in God's Word. Who would like a Rachel CD music for a dollar? Whoever can give me a dollar, they will have that opportunity. So first one, give me a dollar. Here it is.
I'm ready to give her all my dollars.
Okay, now, I'm promising you, because you paid that, I'm promising you that with this little token, you take this little token and back to the bookstore after the fellowship, and you will receive Rachel's CD, music CD, okay? And that's a little, no, that's a little token for you. It's a little Bible token. She wants the token. God, in His relationship with man, makes promises and agreements, right? And then He gives them little tokens, affirmations, validation of those truths, of that agreement. And we're going to look at a number of different covenants in the Bible. The word covenant in the Old Testament, if you want to note this down, is berith or bereth in Hebrew. And it means legally binding agreement between two parties. All right? Oh, I've got notes for you, by the way. So, if I could... So you don't have to write too much. You can have those notes there. It's important to note that along with these covenants... there are confirmations that secure that covenant. You know, it locks it in. So let's go to Genesis chapter 9, and we'll look at a few examples, okay? So Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. God spoke unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And I will behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." Okay, he's going to establish this covenant. "And with every living creature that is with you, and of the fowl, and of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, and from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the token of the covenant. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud." What's the bow? What's he talking about? Rainbow. "The rainbow. I will set the rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So here's the token. You see that rainbow, that confirms the promise that God's making. Amanda's got a little token, and that confirms that she's going to receive that CD. Now, I don't know how much she trusts me or not. You know, when you make a deal with somebody, you got to trust them. So I think she can trust me on that one. Can we trust God?
Yes.
Always. Always. We'll look at a scripture in a few moments that indicates that God's not a man that he should lie. But let's look at a couple other covenants here. 21 in Genesis. Chapter 21 in Genesis. Verse 27. And Abraham took sheep and men and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these lambs, seven ewe lambs, shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me, that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because they swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up and so forth. Okay, so they made this covenant, and they had how many little lambies, right? You know, when you do a teaching, you got to have little props, right? I only got two today, but Abimelech had seven, right? All right. But what did that do? I mean, we're five senses oriented. God knows that. And with these seven sheep, that sealed the deal. They would remember that covenant. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we're going to look at a wonderful relationship between two dynamic men of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 18. And this is David and Jonathan. I'm sure many of you are aware of the relationship they had. Jonathan was the son of who? Saul, the king Saul, right? And of course, Saul was very jealous of David. And yet, Jonathan, Saul's son, loved David. David loved him. And they had a wonderful relationship. So chapter 18, verse 1, and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. I mean, you know, he took his jacket off, gave him that, his shirt, and some more things that we won't go any further with. All right? But, you know, here was this clothes. He gave him the shirt off his back. And these clothes represented this love, this covenant that they would have together. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, there's another great covenant in God's Word, and it's called the Salt Covenant. Let's go to Numbers 19. Numbers 19. In Numbers chapter 19, verse 18. You know what? It's what's it on your notes? It's 18:19, isn't it? Numbers chapter 18, verse 19. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. This was a covenant. It's a salt covenant. Well, in the East, for the people of during that time, and really goes back to the beginning of man, salt had a preservative quality, right? You ever been to these Italian delis? They have these barrels, and they have these big hunks of fish stuck in salt. They're all salted, right? What preserves that meat there? And because salt has that quality of preservation, people recognize that, and they would use that to salt their words. We see that in this verse here. Let's look at another one. Chronicles. Okay, Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 13. This is a great covenant here. 13:5. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his son, by what? A covenant of salt. What would we do with, we make a deal today, right? We buy a house. The paperwork, right? To make sure, we got to go through escrow, right? All these legal stuff just to make sure everybody's accepted of the agreement. Right? Got to go through all this stuff. In the East, covenant of salt. People would have a business deal or whatever. They would have either salt in itself or they would eat food most of the time that had salt in it. And for them, that sealed the deal. That's it. You would never go back on a salt covenant. It was used to seal this nation, right? Of Israel. Gave the kingdom over to Israel on a covenant of salt. One more in Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. These covenants are a pretty big deal in God's Word. And what is fascinating is that God just doesn't leave that promise by itself. He confirms it. He ratifies it with these tokens, these confirmations. Mark 9:49. To get the context, I mean, you'd want to read a little more before this, but we're just going to catch these last two verses. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. I mean, fire is a purification too, right? You burn it up. Okay, here's salt as well. Salt is what? Verse 50. It's good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will you season it? And the word season is not really what that word is. It's in the Greek, it means, will you restore it? Restore it. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Okay? It's all about integrity here, right? My words are salted. If I say what I mean what I say, that's integrity. That's it. You can bank on it. They did in the East here. It means all the difference in the world. I want to share this with you. I took this off the wall today. We had a weekend seminar many years ago, and the couples there, it was a couple fellowship for couples, married couples, and they had a salt covenant. And I think when we were married, we had a salt covenant at our wedding 35 years and 20 days, right? I'm just throwing that out. She can't count that. Really. For Pretty close. But this is the salt in here of that covenant. This is a little more precious personally to me. One morning, a man of God called me and asked me if I wanted to be ordained to the Christian ministry. The Dr. Wirral called me and I went and got ordained. And we had a covenant of salt. And it's in this plaque. You know, it's covered. It's in there. And I look at that and I remember I made a promise to God to serve Him for a lifetime. And I'm going to do it too. It's a salt covenant. All right. Let's go to Genesis 17. There's other covenants that we could look at. Let's go to Deuteronomy instead. There's so many we could look at here, but we're going to jump to Deuteronomy. You could look at, I think I had another example in Genesis. You can look at that at a later time. But Genesis chapter 5, I'm sorry, thank you, Deuteronomy 5, okay. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep to do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talk with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. So there was a covenant being made. And if we read the rest of these verses, it gives the Ten Commandments, okay? The Ten Commandments. But let's go down to verse 22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire of cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. And he wrote them in two tablets of stone and delivered them unto me. And there it was, these two tablets of stone. And those are the commandments. They saw that. That represented the commandments, the agreement that they would make with God to do those commandments. Those stones had it there. And I believe, did they not put the stones in the ark? I think they were in the ark as well, maintained there. Now let's go to Exodus. Exodus 20. There were additional commandments and promises. And this one in Genesis 23:25. Well, where am I? Exodus, right? Genesis, Exodus 23:25. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. I just wanted to share that one because that was part of the promise. That was part of the agreement they had. With that agreement where God had with the children of Israel, they had the Ten Commandments. It was evident. It was there. What else did they have to see for their minds to recognize God's presence? The Ark of the Covenant. Now, they couldn't see that because it was in the inner tent. But they saw the outer tent, then the inner tent. Who went into the inner tent and how often? The high priest once a year was the only person allowed to go in the presence of God. And we'll read a little bit about that. But one aspect of this that they could bank on, that they could claim as a promise that God would take away the sickness out of the midst of them. Exodus 24. Exodus 24, verse 3. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with them, with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. All right, they're making that confession. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it into basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, and here was the book, the covenant, okay? And they read, all that the Lord has said, the people said this, will we do and be obedient. They made a promise to be obedient to those words. And Moses then took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning these words. They took a blood covenant. Now, we're talking about salt covenant, pretty big deal. Blood covenant, huge deal. Very, very big deal. And that's what they were doing. They had a blood covenant to do what the Lord had told them to do. And they had to follow on it. Now, how good is God's word? You know, how good is my word for Amanda to get that CD? Well, she can give it a go, but... But let's look at Numbers 23 and let's see about God. Because we're talking about God Almighty here. We're looking in the Word of Truth here. This is God's Word. This is what He's written to people so that He can communicate Himself to mankind. And we're seeing in the book here all these covenants, different types of covenants. And things going on where God is making promises and He's confirming them with these different things. So in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man. And we should just be very thankful and excited about that, right? God is not a man that He should lie. Every man's a liar. I can't get around it. Every man's a liar. Neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? In a figure of speech, God confirms that He doesn't lie four times here. Four statements here. He could have said, hey, I'm not a man, I'm not going to lie. Should have been good enough. Four times He says, God... it's not a man that He should lie, one. Number two, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Number three, hath He said, and shall He not do it? Number three, four, or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? We can trust in our God. God is faithful. Amen. If we see the promise of God to us, we can bank on it. Oh my golly. That's our challenge today, isn't it? To really, really bank on God, really trust Him and what He has made with us. Has God made some covenants with us? Man, hold on here, because we're going to look a little more at this blood covenant. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. While you're going there, I'd like to quote Leviticus 17:11. Part of that verse says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, the salt, why did they use salt for the covenant? Why didn't they use sand or sawdust or something? Salt had a uniqueness that it preserves, right? Blood, why use blood? The life of the flesh is in the blood. That's life. We're talking about giving life to make a covenant with somebody, and a blood covenant. You're giving life to do that. That's a major commitment. All right, Hebrews 9. Okay, we'll see how important this blood covenant is right in this one verse here, 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. You're all there, and I'm still looking for it. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is what? No remissions. Got to have blood for remission of sins. Okay? In the Old Testament, people's redemption from sin was based on the sacrifice of animals, right? They had all these sacrifices to do to eliminate their sin, being out of fellowship. Amazing, all this blood going on. I don't know if I could have handled it. I don't like blood, you know? And they just cut up these animals and they put this blood out, and that represented redemption for those people. So let's take a look at this here, though. Chapter 9, verse 7. But into the second went the high priest. Now this is this tent, or the temple, later on after David. They had the inner court, right, in the temple, or in the tent, tabernacle. And then they had this inner tent, or the major tent. That was where some folks would go. But on the inside, the second tent was the ark, right? There's some things in there. Priest goes in there once a year only, and he's taking blood with him. He better take blood with him to get the job done. All right, but into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood. That's a figure of speech there, right? Not without blood. He better have some blood with him. Which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. And the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for them then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. He knew in his mind, you know, with all his sins and a little bit of blood, is that really going to pay for what I did? You know, in your conscience, no way, no way could I be made perfect like this, which stood only in meats and drinkings and diver washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, yeah, amen, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, he was that perfect tabernacle, and made with hands, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what kind of redemption for us? Eternal redemption. Do you believe it? Man, you should never feel bad about going before God. Never feel bad. I know sometimes we screw up, we make dumb mistakes, and we have things we could remember in the past where we screwed up, but that's a bunch of bull, okay? Do you believe the blood redeemed you? If it did, it did, right? So when those thoughts come up, get rid of them. No way. See, that's why I'm sharing this stuff with you, so that in your mind, you can see the reality of your purity before God Almighty. Not because of what you did, but because of that perfect man, that perfect sacrifice, that perfect precious blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Amazing, huh? Eternal redemption for us. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Man, I hope a little bit more when you leave here than when you came in, that you can just a little bit more in your mind says, I really want to serve God. I want to do a little bit more for God. And don't say, hey, I'm screwed up. I better do something good for God now. No. Just get excited about the opportunities ahead. All right? The opportunities ahead. Oh, my goodness. Okay, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might, the word might is wrong. It should be should, are called should receive the promise of what kind of inheritance? Man, oh man. Chapter 10, verse 9. Then said he, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offerings oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified in Christ?
Yes.
Forever you are. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, that after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. This is in Jeremiah. This new covenant was prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 31. If you wanted to read that. I will put my law in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why would you want to remember your sins if God doesn't? Yeah. Wow. Oh, man. Where are we at here? Now, we're with remissions of this, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood of Jesus. You're going in before God, and what do you have? The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh my golly. No wonder those priests of old, you know, here's a blood of this little rabbit or some animal I had. That's going to make... No. But man, we, with the blood of Jesus Christ, our life should be one of great confidence, of great boldness to go before the Father. Man, oh man, the sins, all the inadequacies that we feel about ourselves. No, get all that stuff out. Don't let the adversary use that against you. You have the trump card, the royal flush of God's blood in His Son, Jesus Christ. Man, okay. By the new and living way he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our faith or our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. All right. And let us not consider... Wait a minute, I said that wrong. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to provoke you guys to live the love of God and do good works for Him. That's what we should be doing, is provoking everybody with the love of God. The love of God. Wow. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Man, that's why I fight for fellowship. I know that in the fellowship of believers, people can get ministered to. They can get help. They can hear God's word. Man, you should just want to fellowship one with another all the time. And I'm so thankful for the saints here in San Diego. It's not a Sunday morning trip or a Wednesday night trip. It's almost every day. Let's go out and do this. Let's have fun and go over here. Let's go to this weekend. Let's hang out together and talk the word. And man, you guys do that. We've had people come in here and from other areas, and they are just so complimentary. They see the love of God in manifestations in your lives. So you guys kind of know this. Maybe you should be preaching to me, because you guys know this. And we can continue to grow with this, right? Continuing to provoke each other. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. Christ is coming back. He is coming back. Wow. Amen. Man, see, with this truth, with this covenant confirmed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we've got it made. We've got it made now, today, and forever when Christ comes back for us. Man, oh man, Jesus Christ did it for us. And what did God give us so that we can know that we have Christ within us? Holy Spirit. Nine manifestations. We can walk and talk with God. We can speak in tongues. Do you know if you're born again? If you speak in tongues, you do for a surety. Wow, what a great token. What a great thing God has done so that we can confirm the spiritual realities. Oh my goodness. Now we can draw near to God our Father with a true heart and full assurance of believing, being pure before God. With each other we can encourage one another to love the agape style and do good works. Okay? All right, so Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this wonderful time we've had together, and what a great fellowship with the music and Barney just walking with you and doing what he did. Just thankful, Father. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.